This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, want you peep the score. Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a wonderful Monday morning, March the 15th, 2021. The NCAA brackets are out. Jay Williams is going to join us at 5:30 to help us break that down. Greg Shaheen at 7:30. Used to run the NCAA committee, so we'll find out who was close, should have gotten in, didn't get in. Challenges as far as decisions for the selection committee as well. But what a great, a beautiful sports weekend. Let's say hi to the guys and bring in Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. Don't necessarily love the fact that my Virginia Cavaliers got the bracket that they got in the first round draw of Ohio, but it is what it is. You know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can get the team out of quarantine and they can actually travel to Indy, but, other than that, it's a good weekend.
All right. Well, I guess that's good news. Did Harvard make it, Rick?
No, Dave. You tried to trick me last week. No, Harvard's the Ivy League canceled, Dave.
Oh, that's right. That's
you know, right. It's intellectuals, you know. More concerned about.
Got to focus on the schooling.
Exactly right. The academics, Dave. Academia. You know
us. Did BU make it? Did any school that you potentially went to or were accepted by make it into the tournament?
Oh, actually, I've adopted Georgetown. So,
nice.
Big East champ. And I actually doing my original bracket.
Bandwagon fan.
My emotional bracket, like first glance bracket. I actually have Georgetown winning their first game.
Beating Colorado, do you?
Oh, yeah, baby. 12-5 upset. You know
that's
how I roll.
That's a Saturday noon tip for everyone out there listening. So, how about that Georgetown little run? Now, don't you think the Knicks fan felt great about the Georgetown run? I'd have to think so, right?
Yeah, you'd have to. I mean, every Knicks fan, I mean, you can call if you disagree, but every Knicks fan loves Patrick Ewing. And to see what Patrick Ewing has done with that program, especially on the anniversary of Coach Thompson being hired by Georgetown, I mean, it was a great story. And listen, they're hitting their stride at the right time, Dave. I mean, I'm not even joking. I think they can win that first game.
Oh, I think they can win the first game. They're slight underdogs. I think they're like 4 or 5 point underdogs, but they played well. And they were not. I don't understand this, and this is why it's like when I used to gamble, it was so confusing to me because Georgetown was a 9 point underdog to Creighton on Saturday, and I was like, I don't understand, how is that possible? And sometimes you look at the spreads and they just don't make any sense. And they destroyed Creighton on Saturday night. Creighton didn't deserve to be on the court with Georgetown on Saturday.
It wasn't even close. It was not even close. In following you on Twitter, I could see how excited. I could feel your excitement through Twitter. And I
was
want
I bad?
You.
What did I do wrong?
No. It was great. Listen, I told you. I mean, I congratulated you when they won in the semifinals, getting into the finals. And then I didn't want to bother you because I knew you'd be a nervous wreck. And then they came out the way they came out. I mean, the problem with Georgetown, and again, I don't want to sit here and break down Georgetown, but for most of the season has been themselves. They turned the ball over way too much. And they've limited that. They can shoot threes. They got big bodies up front. And, I mean, listen, I'm happy for you, Dave. That's all I can
Thank
say.
You.
It was almost the perfect weekend for you sports-wise.
Saturday was bizarre because I'm so used to, and I think most people are used to just things going poorly for them sports-wise. Saturday was, not only did all my teams win on Saturday, it was easy. Like, the Rangers go up to Boston. They hammer the Bruins. Panarin's back, and you see what a difference that makes. Then the Knicks go into OKC. They destroy the Thunder. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to get the trifecta, right? That's not going to happen for me. But Saturday night, Georgetown wins big. It was you don't get a lot of these. You got to appreciate them when you get them. It was pretty much the perfect sports day on Saturday.
Yeah, and on top of that, too, the Islanders win their ninth straight, which you got to feel good about.
Which is amazing because they lost the game and then they come back and they win the game anyway.
Right? Offsides, Dave. That offsides rule. You got to watch it.
It's amazing. So it's funny. I was on Twitter and I see Islanders lose, game over. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, thankfully they finally lost the game. And then like 20 minutes later, Islanders win. I was like, wait, I don't understand.
BK Subban
exactly
was right
did
there
that happen?
Subban was right there with you, Dave. He didn't understand either. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, listen. Hey, when you're hot, you're hot. I'm not going to fight it. You got to stay on sides. Then all of a sudden, look like we're going to lose in the shootout. Beauvillier comes in. He ties it up. And then Wahlstrom, sniping, he ends it. Hottest team in hockey right now.
They're terrific. All right, that's enough hockey. Can you please?
Well, listen, I could sit down. I could sit here all day and break down the Mass Mutual East if you want.
No, you've already done too much hockey.
Yes, puck is black.
I do like 52 seconds of hockey. That's like 28 seconds more than we have allowed during.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Maybe we get Stephen A. to break it down later, though.
He may actually have. You know, what my favorite thing, though, in all honesty, I know you feel the same way, is when. Because again, we'll get yelled at. Like, well, I mean, I remember my first time doing radio. I think it was Alan and I were doing a show, and we mentioned the Islanders' score, and we actually got chastised. Like, during one of the breaks, like, what are you doing? You're talking way too much hockey. I said, the Islanders just won a game. I was just announcing that the Islanders won. Like, relax for a second. But whenever the Rangers would make a run, when Steven was doing his show here in New York, and then all of a sudden you had to talk about hockey, that was always my favorite.
This is a miracle, because I don't know a damn thing about hockey. I've often said, I don't know a damn thing about hockey. Let me be clear.
Love it.
He'd be like, you know, the Rangers and Marty St. Louis and them boys. I used to, that was my favorite. It was must listen.
I actually Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
I still love the fact where he was about to go. Like, you could see in that moment, his entire career was on the precipice, and then he's like, no. Let me get back on track here.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
It's a mother. So the brackets are out Thursday night. So it's different this year, right? Typically, you have the play-in games Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday is the first round, and then Saturday, Sunday is the second round. This year, it's Friday, Saturday, because it's all locked into one location in Indianapolis. Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday is round two. Anything jump out at you when you guys saw the bracket or have looked at it since?
Anything jump out? I think the first thing that jumped out to me.
The one I heard from a lot of people, and Jay Williams will join us at 5:30 to help us break it down a little bit this morning, is that, and I'm not trying to give you a hard time, Chris, but I've heard a lot of Gonzaga has a very easy road to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's what everybody is saying, and I don't love that we're in that bracket, but I mean, Gonzaga is, I mean, it's the most dominant team, the most consistent team we've seen in college basketball this season. So, I mean, Jalen Suggs is a big-time player. We'll see what happens, you know, in terms of what team emerges, but there's always one of those teams that pulls an upset that gets hot at the right time. I just don't feel like that's going to be my Cavaliers this year, Dave, just because of how everything has gone down the last week with the COVID test during the ACC tournament. Like, I just feel like it sets up poorly for Virginia. They're not even going to practice, Dave, if they go to Indy. They're not even going to practice until Thursday. So I don't feel great about this.
Yeah, I heard an interesting stat, too, which I thought I knew you'd like this, Dave, is that the last time both Duke and Kentucky weren't in the tournament was actually the year that Indiana went 32-0 and won the national championship.
Which is 76, so it's a long time ago.
So it's almost like, you just mentioned it. I mean, Gonzaga, I mean, their road. I mean, three of those teams, they've already beat up on.
Yeah, they do. And the two seed in that bracket, now things change. You never know what it's going to be like. But the two seed in that bracket is Iowa, who's a good team, but they've already destroyed them this season. And Gonzaga's offensively, they're really, really special this year.
They've won 23 straight by double digits.
You know what the big news of the weekend was, though? I don't know how closely you guys paid attention. You could argue the best player, if not second best player on Michigan. Stress reaction in his yep. in his foot. Didn't play in the Big Ten tournament starting on Saturday. They lost that game to Ohio State, and they don't know how long he's going to be out for. If Livers is out for a long time, that completely changed the complexion of that Michigan team.
That absolutely does. I mean, you got Villanova's kind of dealing with the same thing. But, I mean, you bring up that Michigan, you know, the East, the bottom half of that bracket, too. I mean, Alabama being the two seed, they got their hands full, man. I mean, Alabama, Iona, which is Rick Pitino, who, again, I mean, did you hear what happened during the Knicks game? Another Rick Pitino running story with Clyde?
Yeah, I heard about this. There was a couple things I got tweeted about this weekend, so I saw that. And it was at Central Park, too, right?
Yes. That's the last time you saw Rick Pitino just popped up in the park on a run.
This is what he does. He's like, he lurks in the park, and then when people that he's interested in run by, he's like, hey, can I run with you? Can I go with you?
Oh, that's too funny.
And then I guess last night on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, did you see what the question was?
Yeah, the oral or rectal thermometer.
I think validates me. I'm looking it up because somebody sent it to me last night. But I think the fact that this is just common knowledge, it was like a small question on Millionaire. Which of these items in your medicine cabinet often comes with instructions for both oral and rectal use? And the answers were A, cotton swab, B, thermometer. C, the tongue depressor. Or D, tweezers. Got tweezers.
Well, first of all, yeah. I mean, what are you doing with it? I mean, a tongue depressor? I don't know. Come on. You get a splinter. You don't want to do that.
Something in my bum. Can you get the tweezers? Right. Could you imagine?
Now I have fractured glass in my rear.
I didn't realize it would have that kind of reaction.
Oh, goodness.
But the answer clearly was B, thermometer, which makes me feel good because I'm not the only one. Clearly, I'm not the only one who had this done. This was an homage to me on Millionaire last night.
It's my almost name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child
until he was 15 years old. It's almost like people actually listen to the show and then just hacking material off our show. I mean, we had the one show do The Price is Right. We got this, and then that same show, I hear they're talking about Darnold ended up on the Bears, which we talked about on Friday. A lot of stuff being hackopotamus, Dave. A lot of stuff.
We are like the potpourri for everyone just to come and take. We're like the buffet. Oh, I like that. I'll take that. I like that. I'll take that. Thermometer, anally, I'll take that. Right? Last time I was in Central Park, saw Rick Pitino, just bopped out of the bushes. I'll take that. Sam Darnold, I'll take that. That's what we are. We've become the buffet for you to steal our ideas and take them on air. TV, radio, it doesn't matter. Wherever you want, you just bring it. You take it away.
We're like the pregame show. We're like the warm-up. You listen to us, you get all your ideas, and then you can take them to your show.
No, win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
The most blatant, I will say this, though, the most blatant ripoff, and actually Greeny. I mean, the face of, one of the faces of ESPN was actually visibly shaken and aggravated. Was, remember when I did get up a long time ago, and I came out in the Daisy Duke suit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that night, they hacked it on, I think Kimmel did the exact same bit. The next day or that same night, the exact same bit. And Greeny was heated.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Heated. Blatant.
Like, very defensive of you.
Well, they just blatantly stole it. That took a lot of work. Not to mention the fact that I could have made a wardrobe malfunction. Those things were high. Could have had junk pop out. Then what happened? TV career is over after that.
That's right.
There's no getting up from that.
No. No. No one got a gander, did they?
No, that's what I'm saying. God forbid.
Well,
that pops out on national television. Oh yeah, I'll give it to you whenever you want it. If I was Sterling, if I'm John Sterling wearing those shorts, it's night.
Yeah,
career's over.
Yeah, you're exposed.
Exposed.
Is today Sterling K vehicle? By the way.
Oh yeah, K doing double duty. He's Sterling. Him and Sterling at one, and then once that game's over, he's on the K show.
Tabasco sauce.
I love that. I mean, that's a. You could play those for a straight hour, and I would laugh every time.
Hand-churned guacamole.
Because it's funny. I don't know why it's so funny, but it's funny.
Almond nut butter.
Hand-churned guacamole.
Asparagus.
I don't know why it's funny either, but it's funny. And everything he says is funny.
Veal cutlet.
I'm actually looking forward to that today. That Kay and Sterling together. I think it'll be good.
Of course it'll be good.
But it's baseball, too. I mean, I can't even tell you how excited I am for baseball.
2 weeks away. 2 weeks from Thursday, the whole thing starts. By the way, since we are all over the place here in the first segment, which is fine. Did you see that Guillorme at-bat yesterday?
It was ridiculous. 22 pitches?
22 pitches.
I mean, you saw how fired they are. I mean, you saw how fired up they are.
It's great. How could you not be?
They're into celebrating this year. You know, 27-0 game, they're going to celebrate like it's Game 7 of the World Series.
How do you do that? How do you pretend that you've just won a championship, though?
You're just trying to have some fun.
I know. I get it. But it's the whole thing is strange.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, you've heard Rick destroy Peter Rosenberg, right? From the K-Show?
Yes.
All the
yes.
time. Like, he doesn't pay attention during the show. He's playing with the dog. Rick is not with us at the moment. He's taking out the garbage right now, Chris.
Yeah, I see that, Dave. I'm looking at the Zoom. He just sat down in front of the microphone.
I think, Rick, you lose all ability to destroy Rosenberg for when he vanishes during the K-Show.
No, I didn't vanish.
You did. You went to take out the garbage.
Yeah, but I told Santi I was taking out the garbage.
Yeah, but why? But they were flummoxed as to why you would get up there and leave to take out the garbage. Does something happen between now and 8 o'clock that you can't take it out then?
Yeah, the garbage man comes. That's what happens.
That's a valid point.
The garbage man comes before the show ends, and this was our longest break. And it was so windy, I couldn't take it out last night because it would have blown all over the place.
Oh, you know what? That's a good
point.
So this
was something you're supposed to keep to yourself rather
I think we air these kind of moments.
Yeah, well, but in doing so, Dave, you make yourself look like a bad guy. Because he did just give a reasonable explanation.
It was reasonable.
Look at this garbage!
And how many cans do you have to bring down? A lot of cans?
No, it's all the boxes from all the deliveries.
You guys are keeping Amazon in business as well, huh?
Yeah, Amazon. I mean, got the dried fruit that comes. I mean, it's amazing. I think they think I'm a store because I order it, and it's supposed to be like I get the free shipping. It's supposed to take like 3 to 5 days. It shows up the next morning right on the doorstep. It's amazing.
They think you're a store. No individual orders this much dried fruit.
I don't think anyone does. Like, I know not one time have I paid extra for shipping. Like, give me the, you know, overnight. It just always shows up the next day.
Yeah, they think you're a store. They think you're running a little store out of Long Island. It's nice.
I love it.
Beautiful. All right.
The dried mango? You love the dried mango. Stop.
I love mango. Love mango. Dried mango, fresh mango, whatever. Just I'm in love with the mango.
Delicious.
The best dried fruit in my mind would be the apricot, though. The apricot goes from, like, nobody's going to really run after a regular apricot. But once you dry that thing, you have to have involvement.
I like the dried apricot. I've been into the dates. I've actually been into the dates.
Yeah, pitted dates, though, right?
Yeah. I made that mistake. Yeah, you bite the pit. Yeah.
Wait, you didn't realize?
Well, no, I just assumed that Cassie got pitted dates.
Yeah.
Because that's what we get is pitted dates. And I made the mistake of just throwing it right in my mouth and biting into it. And it was one of the ones that weren't pitted.
Uh-oh.
Because I guess she uses those ones to make her, she puts them in her shake with the lactation protein that I was using. And then she takes the pits out and then throws them in there. Those weren't the ones to eat, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. How am I supposed to know these things? They're there in the fridge. I'm going to eat
them. She should tell you. She should write a little warning on the thing. There are pits involved with these dates.
That's what I'm saying. She's trying to get it. I don't want to go to the dentist, have break a tooth or something like that.
That's terrible.
Can't deal with that.
All right. Let's turn our attention to the free agency. It's here. You can now tamper. I guess legal tampering starts today. I was reading this, Rick, about the Jets. They have so much money, them and the Jaguars, there's not a guy on the open market that the Jets can't outbid anybody else for in free agency.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they got plenty of money to spend. They're perfectly situated. I mean, the number of picks and the amount of money. I'll just be interested to see if, you know, the Jets are a destination for some of these big-time free agents. And it looks like a lot of these guys, like the upper-end guys, maybe considering, you know, doing one-year deals so they can get back into the market when the cap goes up next year.
Yeah, that'll be the interesting thing to see, like whether the guys are going to go after the long-term security now, the top guys in free agency, or whether they do shorter-term deals and they wait until the salary cap settles and it's a more favorable marketplace with more teams getting involved. Like, that's the question. Because, I mean, if you're in free agency right now, if you're the New York Jets, you know, there's really only a handful of teams that have the cap space to be as active as you are. So you don't have to necessarily get into a bidding war with anybody, and you don't have to bid against yourself. So I think that's the interesting part about it. You got a whole lot of cap dollars, but there might not be a need for Joe Douglas to go crazy, especially with mid-tier free agents. Like, I get it. If you want to spend big money on edge pass rushers, say a Shaq Barrett, or big money on a wide receiver like a Kenny Golladay, I can understand those guys. But, like, there's no reason to splurge and pay top-of-the-market prices for middle-tier players. You don't have to do it. Not in this market.
No, this is a market where it reminds me of what was going on with the Mets with Steve Cohen. Was that Cohen had the opportunity because it was a depressed market and we named all the free agents. We ended up getting any of the free agents, but, we ended up getting Lindor and McCann. But, they'll have every opportunity to pick and choose exactly who they want at the positions that they choose. I mean, I think that, you know, Joe Thuney would be a guy that I would call, try to solidify the interior of their line because they need to do that. I don't care who the quarterback is. They got to fix that offensive line.
Absolutely. And Joe Douglas is an old lineman, so you got to figure that's one of his top priorities this offseason.
Yeah, and then but both teams, I don't think the Giants need as much as the Jets, obviously. But as far as, you know, the positions that both teams need a wide receiver. Both teams need edge pass rush. I mean,
both teams need corners.
Need corners. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the draft, because I think they tie hand in hand, I think they go together, is there is, in free agency, a lot better pass rushers than there are, I think, in the draft. I think if you're prioritizing, I would rather get, like if I'm the Giants, for example, right? I would get the pass rusher in free agency, and then with the 11th overall pick, now start looking at the wide receiver.
Right, because you know that a Waddle, I don't think Jamar Chase will be there, but a Waddle or Devontae Smith, one of those two guys will be there at 11 for the Giants.
And I don't know how good the pass rushers are going to be. I mean, there's not glowing reports on how good the pass rushers in this draft are, right?
No, I think
the kid from Miami has a chance to be special.
Yeah, Rousseau and Pay are the two that are most highly ranked.
The kid from Miami has a chance to be special. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, he hadn't played in a year, so that's a question mark. But 2 years ago, I think he had like 15 and a half sacks. So the kid's a monster. He's got all the measurables. But, I mean, if you're the Giants, the only reservation I have about going after a wide receiver in the draft is just that you don't know what that kid's going to be. Like, you have no idea. Like, to me, this is a year where you need more of a finished product at that position because Daniel Jones needs a number one threat. Like, I've got to figure out whether or not Daniel Jones can play. And I want somebody that has proven that they can play the position at the NFL level. That's why I would throw money in free agency at a wide receiver just because with this being such a critical year for Daniel Jones, I got to get answers one way or the other. I can't let a rookie wide receiver be the excuse as to why Daniel Jones didn't have a productive season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate part, that you don't have more money.
I agree money. I think they have $3 million at the moment.
Well, I mean, listen, they're going to Nate Solo looks like he's going to be back. Yes. They're going to restructure his deal.
Right. They better get this Leonard Williams deal done today.
They have to. They have to get that deal done. But I agree with Chris. I mean, the only reason I said it is because it would appear, I mean, as far as the names on the market right now that can get after the quarterback, I mean, there are more guys that can rush the quarterback than there are really top-end free agent wide receivers. Like, it's really, I mean, it's Kenny Golladay and, I mean.
That's it.
Juju.
Yeah,
I
mean, Juju.
They throw Juju in that conversation. He's going to get good money.
But I agree with Chris. I mean, you want to find out with Daniel Jones. I would feel more comfortable knowing that it's a veteran wide receiver, like what to expect as opposed to trying to get, because not every rookie jumps in and has a, like, not every rookie is Justin Jefferson. Right, like he steps in and all of a sudden has, you know, 1,400 yards or whatever it is. So that scares me a little bit. But, I mean, you're talking about three positions of need that, I mean, they cost you money. I mean, a top-tier wide receiver in this market is going to cost you a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Edge pass rusher costs you a lot of money.
That's right.
And you need a starting corner to go next to Bradbury.
That might not be as expensive, though. There should be some cornerback options, some veteran cornerback options on the market for reasonable money. But those other two positions, Rico, you're right. Like wide receiver, edge pass rusher, those are going to cost you a lot of money.
I wonder if a guy like Malcolm Butler is somebody that the Giants, you know, obviously has the ties with Joe Judge. He's available now. Not a young guy. I wonder if that's someone that the Giants would make a run after.
Well, I mean, you've seen it already. I mean, you saw it with Logan Ryan. I mean, you're gonna go with guys that
you think you know,
and that are familiar with your system. I mean, for the Giants defense to be, and they made good signings. I know you hate to admit it because you don't like Dave Gettleman, but you know, bringing in Logan Ryan, bringing in Bradbury, bringing in Blake Martinez, for their defense to go from what it was the year before.
Huge strides. You're right. Listen, Tomlinson took a huge step, and it doesn't look like he's going to be back. By the way, the phone lines are open if you'd like to chime in on NFL free agency, which starts today. 800-919-3776. You make it. It's unfair what you do to me, though. You're like, I know you don't like Dave Gettleman. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Dave Gettleman hasn't done some good things. He has. But did I think that heading into year four with Dave Gettleman, we'd be further than we are right now? Absolutely. And I don't know how you can't be disappointed where the Giants are right now.
I'm just surprised you have no money to spend in free agency. That's what confuses me.
Think about this. You have a quarterback on a rookie deal, and you have, at the moment, I think $3 million to spend in free agency. That will never make sense to me. How is that possible?
Well, because you got a lot of guys with substantial cap hits this season. Like, I mean, Jabril Peppers could use, I mean, you could do something with his deal. I mean, he's almost $7 million against your cap. Evan Ingram's another $6 million against your cap. Like, you got to make some decisions here.
Yeah, but Gettleman came up.
Early risers doesn't like to play like that.
He doesn't like this.
How's that worked?
Kick it down the road.
Well, how's that worked out for him? Like, you can say what you want. Like, I think we all agree. As far as, you know, what they're trying to build here, they need to find out this season whether or not they have a quarterback.
Yes.
So if you have to get uncomfortable by, you know, reworking some of these deals to create enough space to make sure you got the pieces around your young quarterback? Because you can't make the same mistake that Joe Douglas did. Joe Douglas did not put enough pieces around Sam Darnold.
Put none.
None. Like, why they weren't in the DeAndre Hopkins thing? I mean, we all knew. Chris said it the second they signed him about Breshad Perriman, what was going to happen with him. The guy would never be healthy. And he was never healthy. Mims wasn't healthy. Herndon was MIA.
No, he was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, your coach stunk. I mean, it's, you don't want to be, I can promise you, you ask any Jets fan, you don't want to be in the same spot we're in right now. You don't.
But I don't think we will be. And I think that with the Giants cap situation, there's some easy fixes. The Leonard Williams getting that deal done, you know, sooner rather than later, because the legal tampering period starts at noon. So you'd like to see, you know, something on the ESPN ticker flash with that. But, I mean, that deal, they're reworking Nate Solder's contract. I think those will create a lot of cap space for the Giants to maybe go out there and be able to get one of those top-tier free agents. Maybe go out there and dabble in the receiver marketplace. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, that would be my hope. As a Giants fan, as somebody that was a former player that wants to see them do well, they got to get a number one wide receiver in order for this offense to take the next step. So, because so, this was the second-to-worst offense in the entire NFL last year.
Awful. They're unwatchable last year offensively. So Kenny Galladay's the guy for you, Chris? Like, you feel like the Giants really... And I saw something on one of the betting sites. The Giants are even money to land Kenny Galladay. But that's the guy for you that they really need to make the priority?
Yeah, that'd be huge for me. Like, that'd be huge, Dave. I mean, Kenny Galladay re-signing Leonard Williams to an extension rather than having him on the tag and then going out and spending money and getting Kenny Galladay. I would say that was a successful free agency period for the Giants. Yeah. That's the guy.
I mean, that's what a quarterback like Daniel Jones needs. I mean, his size, his catch radius. I mean, his ability to make contested catches.
And he can run too, Rico.
Yeah.
There's a speed element with him too.
But you don't have, I mean, you don't have big, like Sterling Shepard's not a big receiver.
No, he's little. Slayton's not big either.
And then you got Ingram, who's he's an anomaly. Like, there are games where he's great, then there's games where he can't catch a football.
He's confounding. I'll tell you one thing. People say Kyle Pitts, you draft him, and you know he's so dynamic. He's a tight end, but he's wonderful. Evan Ingram is not that guy. Like, Evan Ingram cannot be the focal point of your offense. You cannot build a game plan around Evan Ingram and say we're going to win because he's a matchup nightmare. That does not work. You need Galladay. You need to draft receivers. It needs to change this offseason.
Well, yeah, I think isn't Ingram one of those the perfect examples of why when GMs and coaching staffs fall in love with athletic ability and talent.
Yeah, he's good enough to get you fired.
He's your Pro Bowler, Dave.
Yep, good enough to get you fired.
All right, Dave Gettleman, who's frustrating. He, what are you laughing about?
Because I love how whenever we bring something up that makes you uncomfortable, you're like right to a read. Let's move this thing along.
This thing's to move. We got to push forward. We have to trudge forward. All right. So 800-919-3776. But this is going to make me uncomfortable. Sound from Dave Gettleman. Because he has everything figured out. He's going to explain why you don't have to win during the rookie contract to us and why he doesn't like to restructure deals as well. Everyone else in the NFL will tell you differently. Every other GM, owner, front office guy will tell you why, in fact, rookie contract, huge advantage. They'll restructure deals all over the place to have a chance to win now, but not the smartest guy in the room, Dave Gettleman.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I'm going to send the invite, but I'm only going to send it, Rick, because I know that you can be strange with this stuff. I'm only going to send it if you'll accept. Would you like to join my March Madness pool?
No, thank you. I appreciate the invite. No, thanks.
So you don't want to join?
I can't deal with that kind of anxiety. I'm all set.
You know what the truth is, Chris? People are probably listening like, oh, he's playing a game here. No. The anxiety that he will have in picking these games and being compared to other people in a pool is really too much for him.
Is it that, or is it just that he's tired of you the last couple of weeks because you've been on him?
No, I'd say I'm nervous wreck. I can't do that because now all of a sudden I already did one bracket. Now I have to do 27 more brackets, and the one I turn in will be the one that is garbage. I can't do it to myself. Yeah. I got too much to worry about.
I'm not
going to
send it to you. Chris, would you like an invitation?
Oh, absolutely, Dave. I want to partake. I want to get involved.
Okay. 100%. I'm going to send that over to you.
Yeah.
I mean, RJ's going to partake in the pool. Santhi, would you like to partake in the college basketball pool?
Not sure. Why not?
All right. So I'm going to send Santi the college basketball poll. You're going to be the one person on the show that's not going to participate?
Well, no. So now you're going to guilt me. I see what you're doing.
I'm not guilting you. I'm giving you factual evidence. If you don't want to play, don't play.
Well, I know exactly what you're going to do. Like you did to me when I was taking... I told them during the break, we had a five-minute break, hey, listen, make sure Dave takes a peek at the Zoom because I'm going to run the garbage out. In the second I get back, I'm listening to you talk about me not being on the radio.
Well, because I found it strange that you would leave during the show at 6:15 in the morning to take out the garbage. As did RJ. He won't say that to you because he's terrified of you, but he did as well.
There's no other time to take it out. What do you want me to tell you?
When you gave your rationale and reasoning behind it, I understood it, and I backed off, no?
No, you did, because last time I forgot. I got yelled at last time because I forgot. Because I was so into the show that I forgot that you know the garbage needed to go out. So as soon as, I mean, we lucked out. The guy was a little bit late. So
you stress out about everything, huh?
How many times do I need to tell you the pre-bed routine I go through now? Which is
the garbage worse. Stresses you. Joining my college basketball pool stresses you. You're just a nervous wreck.
Yeah, I got a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot of balls
stove,
up in the air.
Refrigerator, freezer. I got to go in and see if the other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
And luckily, I did that last night. It was partially open a little bit.
Now, you say the other refrigerator in the garage. Are there two garage refrigerators?
No,
or
one.
The other refrigerator, comma, which happens to be in the garage?
Yeah, the one with the comma, it's in the garage.
Gotcha.
There's one in the kitchen
today,
and then there's one in the garage. And then I had my dad over this weekend. He brought the kids. He decided he wanted to buy Milo a Nintendo Switch, which I told him not to buy him, but he bought it for him anyway, because that's what he likes to do. Or he buys him, you know, metal, like legitimate golf clubs when he's 2 years old, in golf shoes that now he's 6 years old fit him. The golf shoes actually that he bought him at two, now just finally fit him at 6 years old.
He got a good
old.
Deal, though. He bought him years ago.
He bought him 4 years ago. They finally fit him.
You got to put those things away.
And here's the other thing he does. You're going to love this. So he decides that he's going to buy Milo the Oculus, you know, the virtual reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And Milo's, I mean, he can't really even fully read yet. Like, so for him to, and I can't see what's going on. So he'll ask me questions like, can you see that? I'm like, no, I can't see to help you because it's on your face. So my dad thinks it's a good idea. Not only is he going to buy Milo one, he's going to buy himself one. So now I have my dad with his own Oculus, so they can play. I guess you can play against each other.
But is it that's adorable? No,
it's adorable. In theory, it's adorable. But neither of them really know how to play it. So he brings it over this weekend, and he got a fishing game. So we're trying to figure the fishing game out. So I got my dad in the driveway with the headset on, walking around the driveway. He's like falls into his trunk of his car because he's not paying attention. And then at one point, he's like, Miles, like, Grampy, let me try. And he's like, okay, hold on. And he takes the remote control that's in his hand, and he just drops it on the cement. And I'm like, what are you doing, Dad? You're going to break it. He goes, oh, I thought I was putting it on the chair. I said, the chair is in the game. There's no actual chair.
He's using things that aren't real as items. Oh, that's wonderful. All right. Oh, that's terrific. Dave Gettleman, he doesn't believe, that might be more outrageous than putting that on a fake chair. He doesn't believe in needing to win during the rookie contract, no.
Yeah, we're doing Windows. I don't, you know, Microsoft Windows is nice, but I'm not a window theory guy. I'm just not. I never have been. I never will be. So we're going to keep working the process, keep getting better, and we'll win when, you know, we'll get there.
What does he always do that for?
We'll get there.
Why does he always, I know more than you, and you just fall in line and let me do this, which I've been so successful at for 3+ years now.
Yeah, I don't know why he's trying to buck the trend. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, if you can't win with a quarterback on a rookie deal, what makes you think all of a sudden now when the quarterback's making top-of-the-market money that you're going to be able to all of a sudden build around him?
You're going to have to pay the quarterback and the running back soon, but he doesn't apparently think that's all that big of a deal.
Guys, can you remind me of why Dave Gettleman should feel like he's the smartest guy in every single room that he goes into? Like, what about his record as general manager of the Giants would suggest that he's above reproach? Like, he's beyond calling into question some of the decisions that he's made. Because I get that tone every single time he addresses the media and the fan base.
It's a turnoff, right, Chris?
I'm getting sick of it, Dave. Like, I'm over it. I'm tired of it. Put a winning product on the field. What you've done since you've been general manager is not good enough. The Giants have had four consecutive double-digit loss seasons. At some point, it's got to stop. And maybe the way you've been doing business isn't what's going to get this thing turned around. So maybe you need to rethink or reimagine how you're trying to build this football team.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if you're going out there and you're winning 12 games a season and somebody asks you about the quarterback rookie window and you have fun with it like that, Windows, Microsoft Windows or whatever, you know what? Fine. But the fact is that you have the worst record in the NFL the last 3 years, and you sit there and you act like you're the Prince of New York City. I do not get it.
I'm almost jealous of his level of self-belief.
Is this a Boston thing, Rico?
I wish I... Not me.
He probably got it to Harvard.
Hey, how dare you? Don't even say something like that. Don't discredit my achievement.
Let's get to some of these calls. I can't even. Let's go to Toby in Rockland. Toby, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I was just thinking of another option. I know you guys have been mentioning Kenny Galladay, and I know he's like the big name on the market. But I would say I would want to bring up either looking at Corey Davis or even Jonnu Smith, and just hear me out with one bit. They have a huge experience. I feel like they hit all the checklist. They love running. They love blocking for the running back, and we need help with Saquon this year. And then they are just they're not the big name, but they are reliable, and they may come at a better price for us. So I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there, and just as options. Other than Kenny Galladay. And then just the Galladay last year was injury prone. And I know that's like a big question mark going into this year. How's his health? But I think looking at maybe going towards Corey Davis and even looking at Jonnu and maybe even somehow moving Ingram, because I got tired of watching too many of those.
I don't think they're going to move Ingram, Toby. I think they've made that abundantly clear. Thanks for the call. They're not moving Ingram.
No.
Not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. And Jonnu Smith is a better version of Evan Ingram. I mean, he's a U tight end. He's a guy that you don't want as an inline blocker, but he can be a matchup nightmare with linebackers and safeties. But he's more in a tight end mold. Like, you need somebody that can line up outside of the numbers that can dictate front and coverage. And as far as Corey Davis is concerned, I mean, he's got the same level of injury concerns as Kenny Galladay. He's only played all 16 once in his four-year career. So, I mean, I look at it from this standpoint when comparing the two players. Like, I've seen Kenny Galladay as a number one wide receiver have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, double-digit touchdowns. So I know what I'm getting when it comes to that. Corey Davis, even though the arrow is pointed up, you're talking about a guy that was drafted in the top five and his team is giving up on him 4 years later. So, I mean, you saw that he produced last year, but that was as a number two receiver with A.J. Brown drawing most of the attention and coverage. I don't know that Corey Davis is a legitimate number one receiver in the NFL. And for that reason, I would probably shy away from doing that and going more toward Kenny Galladay just because, Dave, I know what I'm paying for.
Yep. If they don't get Galladay, mark my words, Curtis Samuel will be on the New York Giants. I almost promise you that. Let's go to Jake in the car. Jake, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I love the show. CC, congrats on the engagement.
Appreciate you, brother.
So I just wanted to make the point that the Giants are going into year three with Daniel Jones. They're going to need to make a decision on his fifth-year option at the end of the year. So they need to attack a wide receiver in free agency. I think Kenny Galladay is obviously the prize. I think Corey Davis, as the last caller said, is a little bit of a consolation if you can't get Galladay, because Galladay is going to cost you. And I think Curtis Samuel is also a name to consider. But you look what Stephon Diggs did in Buffalo for Josh Allen, really transforming him. And I think the Giants need to do the same to give Daniel Jones the top option at wide receiver. Thanks, guys.
I think we're in lockstep here. I think we all agree that the Giants need to add the big receiver. The problem is, outside of Galladay, Rick, is there a receiver that you look at and you really love right now in free agency?
Now, Galladay's the guy I would target. But again, I mean, he's going to have, with what happened with Godwin down in Tampa and then Allen Robinson in Chicago, I mean, that's going to be, I mean, I'm sure the Jets should be interested in Galladay. The Giants will be interested in Galladay. Like, anyone looking for a wide receiver is going to be interested in Galladay.
But the Giants can't compete with the Jets financially. If the Jets want to make a deal which just blows everyone else out of the water, they can do it.
No, you're not wrong. But again, I mean, this is the spot that you're in because, you know, Gettleman and how he likes to handle the salary cap has put you in a spot where you don't have, you know, the kind of money you'd expect to have when your quarterback's on a rookie deal. So you're going to have to pick. That's why I brought it up earlier. Like, it's going to be, you know, what you feel like you can get in the draft at 11 to address whatever need it ends up being. And what are your options on the free agent market? I think we all agree we'd rather have a veteran wide receiver to you know, number one guy to pair with Daniel Jones. Because
mm-hmm.
we already, that's a proven commodity. Mm-hmm. Right? There's going to be no guesswork involved in that. Once that's he learns right. the system, like he's going to have Kenny Golladay, you plug him in, especially with Saquon Barkley back, he's going to have production. But you also have to weigh, because you're limited financially, with, you know, at 11, could I get, you know, a Jalen Waddle and then address the pass rusher in free agency? Because there seems to be, I mean, there's a lot more options with the pass rusher than there is with the wide receiver. Because I can't afford to give Kenny Golladay the kind of money that the Jets can give. You know what I mean? Like, I can't go overspend for him because I don't have those kind of finances right now. But maybe I could get one of the, you know, one of the better pass rushers because there's so many available right now. But those are all things. And this goes again to him. And how much do you trust Dave Gettleman?
Mm-hmm.
I think we know how a lot of people feel about him right now.
Okay. So, I mean, that would scare me a little bit. But, I mean, with the amount of money that you have to spend, unless, you know, Dave Gettleman does, you know, something out of his comfort zone, which is reworking some of these deals and everything else. And mm-hmm. he'll rework Nate Solder, and I would imagine they're going to sign Leonard Williams.
Yep.
Is that, I mean, you're limited. I mean, unless he starts hitting home, unless he hits a bunch of home runs in the draft, I mean, how much work are you going to be able to do with this free agency on your team?
Not a lot. I mean, if Leonard Williams will be your big offseason acquisition on defense, and then like we've talked about all morning and we'll continue to discuss, you're going to probably land one real chip in free agency. And it's going to either be a wide receiver or it's going to be someone that can get to the quarterback. And then you'll sprinkle in, you know, maybe someone of value at corner or something like that. But mm-hmm. that's it. I expect one real piece in free agency.
So your hope is, I mean, the defense was really, I mean, was surprised everyone. And it was a really good defense. So you bring back Leonard Williams, and maybe that piece ends up being pass rush or corner. Or, you know, a really good pass rusher. And then you get someone that's kind of like a second-tier corner to go next to James Bradbury. The real improvement of the team is going to be Saquon Barkley back and how much better Daniel Jones can be. That's where you see the biggest improvement. Because, again, I mean, if your offense is worse than it was last year, then you, I mean,
well, it can't be.
Obviously, you need
possible?
A new quarterback.
I mean, you were 31st last year. So unless you go to 32nd this coming season, it's not going to be worse.
Well, I don't know, Dave. Adam Gase is gone out of Florham Park.
It's true. There is an opening.
I mean, you averaged less than 18. Dave, you averaged less than 18 points a game last year.
Well, Rick, I know all the numbers. I know all the numbers. The offensive line wasn't good. They had nobody that could separate as far as receivers concerned. The quarterback, you know, looked good at times but bad at other times. I know all of it.
So, I mean, that's if when you look at the NFC East right now, and we all realize, you know, the how important winning your division is.
Mm.
Okay, you had a chance last year. Daniel Jones gets hurt. Otherwise, I think they probably end up winning that division. Dallas just, you know, brings back Dak. They're right now on paper, talent wise, I would say the team to beat. I know we say that every year, but I'm just saying on paper right now, talent-wise.
Fair.
Yep.
Then I would put Washington because their defense, depending on what they do at quarterback. They're going to make a move at quarterback. And then, I mean, then there's the Giants, and then the Eagles are a dumpster fire right now. But, I mean, because you don't have any money to spend in free agency, I mean, if you're going to have a chance to win this division, it's going to be because, you know, Saquon comes back and he's healthy, and he, you know, he turns back into the Saquon Barkley that we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing back Nate Solder helps to solidify that offensive line. Andrew Thomas in his second year is
got to be better. Yep,
is better. And then Daniel Jones is the one that, I mean, he's the one that takes that big leap in year three, and gets you to that, you know, takes you to that next
has to
that
has
next
to.
Point.
That it's on him this coming season. Get a refresh with your refund during Mako's tax season event for expert paint and collision repair. Use their contactless services. It's as easy as book. Quote, fix, better get Mako. Visit Mako.com today to schedule your free estimate. Terms and conditions apply. And let's go. Little Kenny Candy.
It's everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Ah, yes, and a pleasant Monday morning to all of you. One and all. So, let's start with some brackets here. Very simply, Gonzaga's the favorites to win it all. Because I feel like a lot of people they're kind of playing catch-up, right? After 2 years of no brackets, they're undefeated. They're the number one team in the country and in this tournament. So can we call this a Gonzaga or the field situation? And if you are, would you take Gonzaga?
Yeah, I think it's fair to call it a Gonzaga or the field situation. They, like I said before, they've been the most consistent team in all of college basketball, and they have a true superstar in Jalen Suggs. So, yeah, I think we can call it a Zags or the field. We can. And, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem taking Gonzaga over the field. even though they're in the same bracket as my Virginia Cavaliers.
By the way, do you guys see that Jalen Suggs was a football star and offered scholarships to like Alabama, Michigan, and Ohio State, the elite football schools in the country? Yeah, I think you can say it. Now, I'm probably not going to take Gonzaga just because I think everybody will, and you're going to have to dominate in the early rounds to be able to win if everybody takes him and you take him as well. So I will go away from Gonzaga, but I think you can say that it is a Gonzaga or the field in this tournament, yes.
All right, I'll make this quick because I want to bring something up. I will say Canty. I'm saying, yeah, can he? I believe, because I want to see it. I would like to see them go undefeated and win the tournament. Here's the other thing. One of the other better teams in the tournament, Illinois.
Yeah.
Kofi Coburn.
No. That's not how you say it.
That's how they say it.
Coburn?
How do they pronounce it?
I've heard Cockburn.
Well, you know how it's spelled.
Well, I know how it's spelled. It's spelled Cockburn, yes.
Yeah, so why is that not how you pronounce it?
Apparently not.
I feel like Rick was right the first time. Coburn.
No, I was right. That's what they've been pronouncing it as.
Coburn?
Yes.
That's what they've been pronouncing it as. Which is clearly to do him a solid.
So
it's
the
Cockburn.
CK or just they don't exist in that name?
Well, no, they exist, but you can't be walking around saying, oh, there's Cockburn. You can't do it. They're doing him a solid is what
they're
doing.
I'm going to do you a solid. I think we should move on.
High school, by the way, very difficult.
I see what Rick's doing, too.
Did you say you had that in high school?
You know, I thought it was going to go unnoticed. Thank God you picked up on it.
Wow.
See, Rick's saying he's not going to join Dave's bracket, yet he knows it. He knows how to pronounce names. He's going to be in this tournament, and he's going to be a threat to win it. Watch.
He's not going to play. I'm not going to send it to him. He said he doesn't want it.
He's going to come in tomorrow. He's going to be like Grand Canyon. He's going to know everything about the players. He's going to know the size of the actual Grand Canyon.
What is the nickname of Grand Canyon? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
They'll know by tomorrow.
I believe they are the Antelopes.
The Antelopes?
The Antelopes, yes.
Interesting.
All right. Patrick Ewing taking Georgetown to the tournament after an unexpected Dave Rothenberg birthday gift. Big East title.
What a treat.
The Hoyas will play on Saturday at 12:15. They're in the 12-5 matchup against Colorado. Meanwhile, the Central Park jogger, Rick Pitino, taking Iona to the Big Dance, his first year at Iona. And he'll be on the Michael Kay Show later today. Iona's a 15 seed. They take on number 2 seed at Alabama, also Saturday. So, can either of these teams pull an upset as a double-digit seed?
I'm going to say we can. He can. And I'm leaning toward Georgetown being that team. I mean, Patrick Ewing squad, they've got a lot of size in their front court. They rebound the basketball well, and they defend well. And those are all things that play well during the NCAA tournament and when you get into this type of format. So I'm going to say that they can pull off the upset against Colorado, and I think Iona will make the game against Alabama a lot more competitive than folks think, but I don't see them advancing. So I'm going to say we can, and I think it's going to be the Hoyas.
Oh, well, that would be such an unbelievable March treat. They definitely can. I don't know if they will, and you'll have to find out when my brackets are released. But they certainly can. And I think it would
be like that kind of party.
Yeah, we love that kind of party. Georgetown over Iona. I can't imagine Iona is going to beat Bama.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I would say they can, and I would lean towards Georgetown.
All right, Drew Brees, retiring from the NFL. Not expected, but here's how he did it on Instagram.
For 15 years in the Saints and 20 years in the NFL,
our dad is finally going to retire.
So we can spend more time with us.
Brees, the NFL's all-time leading career passer, over 80,000 yards. He's second in touchdown passes, 571. So, and maybe we'll do a little more of this coming up. I know Chris is working on a list. I'd be interested to hear.
Ooh.
Can we call Brees a top 5 quarterback of all time?
No, we can't, RJ. We can't. And I know we're supposed to be celebrating Drew Brees and his legacy in the NFL, but I think it gets a little lofty when you start saying top 5 quarterback all time. Now, I always make the qualifier like from the beginning of the merger until now. So in this 51-year span, I would probably say, you know, Drew Brees is somewhere in that 8 to 10 range. Like that's where he's going to fall when you start stacking him up and saying, you know, who are the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I think that's kind of where he's going to live.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I can't put him in top five all time. Top 10, I can. Top five, I cannot. Now, before we hear Rick's answer, Chris, are you going to have a top 10 all-time quarterback list for us in the 7 o'clock hour?
I can if you want me to, Dave.
I would greatly appreciate.
Okay.
We'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour. All right, Rick, where are you going there?
I would agree with you guys. I mean, he wasn't even the best of his generation.
No.
Right? I mean, with Peyton and then Tom Brady.
No.
But he's, I would say probably somewhere in the top 10.
Yep.
All right, last one. Let's go quick here because we're up against it. Knicks and Nets tonight in Brooklyn, a game you can hear here on 98.7 ESPN. Can we give the Knicks a chance against these Nets?
Oh. I'm going to say you can give them a chance. I'm going to say you can, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, the Knicks play really good defense. They make themselves tough to beat. They execute well. You know, when they get into situations down the stretch in games. So I'm going to say because of those things, the Knicks have a chance, but I just don't see it happening tonight against Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, I say no. I cannot give them a chance in this game tonight. They don't match up well, and they're not fully there, right? The point guard situation is still an issue. I would love to say yes, but I can't. No.
Emotionally, I have to say they can. I mean, that's the only reason I'm watching it. And, I mean, their defense will give them an opportunity, but I just think as far as the ability to score, I mean, Brooklyn's a whole different level.
Just too much. All right, there you have it. Another wonderful edition of the Monday version of Canty Canty.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
Rick is not with us at the moment. He's taking out the garbage right now, Chris.
Firmly. This garbage! Look at this garbage!
I think you lose all ability to destroy Rosenberg for when he vanishes during the K-Show.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
I didn't vanish.
You went to take out the garbage.
Yeah, but I told Santi I was taking out the garbage.
Yeah, but does something happen between now and 8 o'clock that you can't take it out then?
Yeah, the garbage man comes. That's what happens.
That's a valid point.
This is DCR.
And how many cans do you have to bring down? A lot of cans?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Gonna put the world away for a minute. Pretend I don't live in it.
That's right.
Sunshine gonna wash my blues away.
Fine wine. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR PRB, the Goodyear Hotline. Greg Shaheen is going to join us at 7:30. Say, who exactly is that? He was the decision maker, guys. The VP of the selection committee for years and years and years. So he will join us at 7:30 this morning. I might sneeze in a moment.
No, that's fine. Take your time.
It went away. I'm good.
I brought us into a show. I mean, my open was terrific.
The last thing we wanted, like honestly, if I had to sneeze through conversation leading us back from a segment, I think that would be more appropriate than what we had.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
Oh,
it is the Thursday.
Doesn't get
any
better.
A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. It only gets worse.
Here's my question for you. Why do you stop after every three words when you talk? It's like, all right. Here we go.
I'm trying to waste as much time as possible. I was given 30. He'll be back in 30 seconds. I was like, I need to have this last as long as possible.
You're going like three-word little burst there. Listen to that. Like, he doesn't speak more than three words at a time. Listen to it again.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. I'm drowning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
That's what it is.
Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
And that's what it was. It was like three words. Three words, break.
You could hear it in my voice. The energy is second. The second I said, okay, here we go, the energy was gone. And I was like, oh, no. Now I'm in one.
Yeah,
please,
really,
Dave, save me.
Painted yourself into a corner there, and I pop back on, and I'm sneezing or not. That was, I took it to a different level. All right. you rarely, if ever, defend me, right? Is that fair to say?
No, I don't think that's fair to say.
All right. Well, I think this is going to be one of the times that both of you will have my back to the nth degree. Jimmy in White Plains is next up on 98.7. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, guys. How are you? You guys are the best thing. Chris Canty, congratulations.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Listen, the producer that does your Saturday show, Ty, and
yes,
with Anita on Sunday, Anita was kind of hurt yesterday because he brought up your your bracket, and she wasn't invited to your bracket, and she thought maybe she's on the outs with you.
Jimmy, can I defend myself for a moment here? And it's preposterous that this is her tact here. She was complaining at what time that she didn't receive a bracket?
Yesterday morning on her show.
What does she want me to do, make it up on my own? Just like start taking teams and making my own bracket and sending that to her? The bracket didn't come out until 6 o'clock last night.
Then it's her bad. I'm sorry. I was
Jimmy, it's not her bad. I understand.
It's clearly her bad.
No, you don't have to send her the actual bracket. You can say, hey, Anita, you know, I'm going to be doing a bracket
Everybody else knew that they were invited.
See?
Well, I haven't talked to Anita. You know what? No. Jimmy, thanks for the call.
He's scared of Anita,
that.
Jimmy. That's what it is.
RJ, were you worried when you hadn't received the email that there was a pool coming out at 6 o'clock last night?
No, this is actually my favorite pool. If I got kicked out of this, I don't know what I'd do in life. I would question all of March, the whole month.
But I love the fact that Anita was concerned. And then I have Ty texting me last night at 5:30. Dave, where's the email? I still hadn't received the invite into the pool. It's like, well, because the brackets aren't out yet. People are unbelievable.
This is your own fault, though. You knew this was going to happen. This is what happens when you decide you want to do, you know, stuff at work. And you tell certain people and you don't tell other people. You just send out a mass email. You should have sent out a mass email just gauging everyone's interest.
I sent out a mass email with the bracket attached so you could fill it out. Why do I need to send out multiple emails? It seems like a waste of time.
Well, because people start talking, and now you put Anita in a tough spot, because part of you is afraid of Anita because she does the weekend wager and everything else, that she's gonna steamroll you in this pool.
Please, I fear no one.
That's fine.
No one.
You can admit it.
I'm not scared of her. I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared of anybody. I'll put my college basketball IQ up to the test against anybody at this station. Oh. Aminu Muhammad, baby.
That's right.
You think she knows who Aminu Muhammad is? I bet you she doesn't.
I bet she does.
She knows the Grand Canyon is the Antelopes? I bet she doesn't.
I don't think there's many people that know that, but you.
That's what we do here. That's what we do here.
I may be interested in your pool. I've already completed a second bracket.
Well, you're going to join?
I'm thinking about it.
Oh.
Considering.
Chris is already in. Love it.
For some reason, I keep, maybe it's because I'm married. I got Morehead State making a run.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, what do I say? Where do I go? Don't know what I'm supposed to say. You know what I'll say on that note? Chris, are you ready with your top 10 quarterbacks of all time?
I'm ready, Dave. I'm ready. Right. And I hate that you guys maybe put together this list because one of the people that I really, really wanted to include, I'm going to have to leave out, that being one Warren Moon. Wanted to try to find a way to work him in there. I know he had the 6 seasons in the CFL before he came to the NFL.
Yes, the music.
He's so good, Dave, but I couldn't put him in my top 10. That's how good this top 10 is.
There's no shame in not being in the top 10, by the way, in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, this is really not the history of the NFL. We're really talking about the last 50 years, the last half century. So since the merger in 1970.
Right.
Okay, so let's kick it off.
Well, now here's the thing. You can go through it 10-1, or Rick and I can take some guesses of who you have in certain spots.
Okay.
You direct us how you'd like to play this game.
Well, I think we have a little more drama, a little more intrigue if you guys decide you want to guess.
Okay.
And we can kind of do this like a Daily Don.
Okay. Oh, stealing from the Daily Don, but different and our own version of.
Yeah.
Said Daily Don. All right, Rick, you want to start out the... obviously, there's a couple easy ones here.
Yeah, I got to go. I mean, Tom Brady's got to be number one on the list. Yeah.
Oh, of course. You can't have a list of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and not have the guy that has more Super Bowl championships than any NFL team. So Tom Brady, obviously, number one on the list, greatest of all time.
All right, I'm not going to play this. I'm looking for just the easy way. I'm going to try to get some of the obscure top 10 ones off the bat. I'm going to say... Well, not that it's obscure, certainly. But I'm going to go Joe Montana top.
Yeah, way to go on the limb, Dave.
How's that obscure, Dave?
Well, it's
number
more
two
obscure
on the,
than Tom Brady.
It's number two on the list.
Is it really?
Montana.
See, that surprises me.
Why does
I wasn't
that
going
surprise
for number
you,
two
Dave?
With Montana. All right.
Why does that surprise you, him being number two on the list?
I thought I had a feeling Peyton was going to be number two, but okay. That's
no,
fine.
Joe Montana. I mean, 2-time MVP, 4-time Super Bowl champ. I mean, really, when you start talking about winners at the quarterback position, it's him, Tom Brady, and if you want to say Terry Bradshaw, but those two other guys, Brady and Montana, are on a different level than Bradshaw. So, yeah, Joe Montana, number two all-time quarterback list.
All right, so Brady 1, Montana 2. Rick, you're up.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to try to get real obscure in the top 10. I'm going to go with John Elway.
How did you get obscure in the top 10 anyway?
Well, I was just saying I was going to go outside of the obvious one and two. I didn't realize I'd be so good. I'm better than I realized.
No, John Elway is number four, Rico. Nice. John Elway is number four on the list.
All right, I'm going to scratch off number three on the list then and go with Peyton Manning.
There you go, Dave.
Omaha! Omaha!
Very well done.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take a stab at this one. I'm going to go with one Dan Marino.
Dan Marino. Rico, look at you. Dan Marino is eighth on the list.
All right, so he's got Marino at eight. I'm going to go. To me, he's a top 10 quarterback of all time. I got to put Aaron Rodgers on this list.
Very well done, Dave. Aaron Rodgers is seventh on the list.
Seventh on the list. Is there another Green Bay Packer on this list?
No, you can't answer that.
I'm going to go with Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is sixth on the list. Well done, yes. Rico. Well done.
The pressure is immense right now because no one has missed yet. Here's the question. Does he have Breeze on the list? Does he have Breeze on the list? I'm going to go Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly is not on the list. He is not on the list.
Yes, David.
You don't respect me?
Go ahead.
So how far are we going back on this list?
1970, Rico.
1970 on the list. I am going to go with Kulani Sutaki. I'm going to say because we are honoring Drew Brees, I'm going to put Drew Brees on the list.
Drew Brees is on the list, Rico. Drew Brees is ninth on the list.
So we're missing five. All right, I'm going to say the left-handed wonder from Greenwich, Connecticut, one Steve Young.
There you go, Dave. That is number five on the list.
Nice.
Well done, Dave Rothenberg.
Now let's see if he can get 10.
So what are we missing, 10?
That's it, just 10, which would close out the perfect list from you if you get this right.
Give me who we have already.
You want me to run down the list?
Yeah, go ahead.
Give me who we have already.
So it's Brady, Montana, Manning, Elway, Young. Then we have Favre, Marino, Rodgers, Breeze.
Oh, he won't do it, though. He would never do it yet because it's just, it hasn't been enough time. So we're missing number 10?
Yep.
Is this older school?
No.
I don't understand why he gets hints.
No, it's not older school. It's not older school. I think you guys are overlooking this group. And it's surprising that you'd overlook this particular group because it's probably the most visible franchise in the National Football League.
Most visible franchise in the National Football League.
That just confuses me even more.
Is it Staubach?
No, I thought about it. It came down to these two guys. I thought about it. It came down to these two guys.
All right.
It is not Staubach.
I'm going to say...
Who are you taking out?
I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger.
What a terrible guess that was.
Why is that a terrible guess?
That's a terrible guess. Because you're not taking Roethlisberger over Terry Bradshaw. What's wrong with you?
What are you talking about? You could take Roethlisberger over Bradshaw.
No, you cannot. Bradshaw won four Super Bowls.
You know what? Worry about where are you going? You're deflecting. Where are you going?
He said most visible franchises. So
I thought the Steelers could be the most visible franchise. I would think
yeah,
it's
but
the Cowboys
wouldn't you pick,
Steelers.
Wouldn't you pick the Steeler quarterback that would be most likely to be on the list, which would be Terry Bradshaw?
Nope, I would not.
Is he putting is Aikman?
That's who I had on the list, Troy Aikman.
That is correct.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Another win for me, Dave. Another win. Chalk it up.
I don't know how you won.
So let's go through, because you had two wrong, I only had one wrong. Let's go through the games that we played so far in the show. Price is Right, Dave lost. Get to know your co-host, Dave has not won yet.
$5 off on the toilet paper. $5!
And then the QB list. Another loss.
See, I'll take the loss with the get to know your co-host. The cheating of the Price is Right game, which was an abomination.
Do you swear you did not do it? Do you swear you did not cheat?
And this, I thought, was more of a fun back and forth. I didn't realize it was heated competition. But okay, if you want to take the you know, I even offered you the first guess.
Well, then, yeah,
put on a cookie!
What do you give me? Of course we're going to pick Tom Brady. Then you go, I'm going to go out on a limb here and try to get a little obscure.
I didn't realize my dad was going to listen. I'm not going to go obscure. I'm not going to take, like, you know, some crazy young quarterback.
Well, I thought you were going to bang out the bottom of the list. You went with number two.
I didn't know that he would have Montana, too.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, Joe Montana.
How is Joe Montana obscure, though, Dave? That's why I don't understand it.
Well, I guess there's no obscure quarterback.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark.
Why don't you take us to break, Rick? Go ahead.
No, it's not my job. No, absolutely not.
Thursday morning.
You can take us right to break. Tease what we have coming up next. Tell us what day of the week it is.
Thursday.
Use three words in it at a time. Be beautiful.
Don't lash out at me now because you lost.
I don't like losing.
I'm going to go. I'll go Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't think it's a bad guess. I didn't realize that this was a heated competition. I thought it was friends that were just guessing a list. I didn't realize that you were going to go here. This is where you go, and that's fine. But if you think I'm not going to lash out after a loss, you're crazy.
This is what separates us. This can't be, if we just go through the list, then that's just, I mean, it's a daily dawn. This is, we got to separate ourselves here a little bit.
Really, it's a battle, a competition. All right, starting this Thursday, it's the highly anticipated return of the Michael Kay Show's Drop Madness, presented by Wendy's. Have your dials tuned in to 98.7 ESPN, 3 o'clock, and be ready to cast votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.